नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, answers by citing the Lord's version, text 18. Tadarshanalada pariplutantaro Risyatanu prema bharashru lochanaha Nama padam bhujam asya vishvasrig Yat paramahamse na pathadighamyate Word for word, please repeat. Tat, by that audience of the Lord. Darshana, audience. Alada, joy. Pariprata, overwhelmed. Antara, within the heart. Hrishyat, full in ecstasy. Tanu, body. Premabhara, in full transcendental love. Ashru, tears. Lochana, in the eyes. Nanama, bow down. Pada ambujam, under the lotus feet. Asya, of the Lord. Vishvasrik, the creator of the universe. Yat, which. Paramahamsena, by the great liberated soul. Patha, the path. Adigamyate, is followed. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma, thus seeing the personality of Godhead in His fullness, was overwhelmed with joy within His heart. And thus, in full transcendental love and ecstasy, His eyes filled with tears of love. He thus bowed down before the Lord. That is the way of the highest perfection for the living being, Paramahamsa. Translation, please repeat. Lord Brahma, thus seeing the personality of Godhead in His fullness, was overwhelmed with joy within His heart. And thus, in full transcendental love and ecstasy, His eyes filled with tears of love. He thus bowed down before the Lord. That is the way of the highest perfection for the living being. Paramahamsa. Purport. So this is a long purport, long two-paragraph purport, but it's very deep. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that this literature is meant for the Paramahamsas, Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. That is, the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for persons completely free from malice. In the conditioned life, the malicious life begins from the top, namely, bearing malice against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Personality of Godhead is an established fact in all the revealed scriptures. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the personal feature of the Supreme Lord is especially mentioned. So much so that the last portion of the great literature has emphatically stressed that one should surrender unto the Personality of Godhead to be saved from the miseries of life. Unfortunately, persons with impious backgrounds do not believe in the Personality of Godhead. And everyone wants to become God himself without any qualification. This malicious nature in the conditioned soul continues even up to the stage when a person wants to be one with the Lord. And thus, even the greatest of the empiric philosophers, speculating on becoming one with the Supreme Lord, cannot become a Paramahamsa, because the malicious mind is there. Therefore, the Paramahamsa stage of life can be attained only by those who are fixed in the practice of Bhakti Yoga. This bhakti yoga begins if a person has a firm conviction that simply discharging devotional service to the Lord in full transcendental love can elevate him to the highest perfectional stage of life. Brahmaji believed in this art of bhakti yoga. He believed in the instruction of the Lord to execute tapa, and he discharged a function with great penance, and thus achieved the great success of seeing the Vaikuntha Lokas and the Lord also by personal experience. No one can reach the abode of the Supreme Lord by any mechanical means of the mind or machine, but one can reach the abode of the Vaikuntha Lokas simply by following the process of Bhakti Yoga, because the Lord can be realized only through the Bhakti Yoga process. Lord Brahmaji was actually sitting on his lotus seat, and from there, by executing the process of Bhakti Yoga in great seriousness, he should see the Vaikuntha Lokas with all variegatedness, as well as the Lord in person and his associates. Following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, any person, even up to this day, can attain the same perfection by following the path of the Paramahamsa as recommended herein. Lord Chaitanya also approved of this method of self-realization for men in this age. One should first, with all conviction, believe in the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, and without making efforts to realize him by speculative philosophy, one should prefer to hear about him from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and later from the text of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One should hear such discourses from a person Bhagavatam and not from the professional man, or from the karmi, jnani or yogi. That is the secret of learning the science. One does not need to be in the renounced order of life. He can remain in his present condition of life, but he must search out the association of a bona fide devotee of the Lord and hear from him the transcendental message of the Lord with faith and conviction. That is the path of the Paramahamsa recommended herein. Among various holy names of the Lord, he is also called Ajita, or one who can never be conquered by anyone else. Yet he can be conquered by the Paramahamsa path, as practically realized and shown by the great spiritual master Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma has personally recommended this Paramahamsa Pantha in his own words as follows: Jnane Prayasan Udapasya Namanta Eva Jivanti San Mukharitam Bhavidya Vartam Stane Sita Shruti Gatam Tanuman Manobhir Ye Prayasho Ajita Jito Api Asitais Trilokyam. Lord Brahma said, O my Lord Krishna, a devotee who abandons the path of empiric philosophical speculation aimed at merging in the existence of the Supreme and engages himself in hearing your glories and activities from a bona fide sadhu or saint, and who lives an honest life in the occupational engagement of his social life, can conquer your sympathy and mercy even though you are ajita or unconquerable. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3. That is the path of the Paramahamsas, which was personally followed by Lord Brahma and later recommended by him for attaining perfect success in life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna. So, we are on text 18 of this chapter. So, yesterday we heard from His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj about the Lord revealing Himself to His pure devotees, those who have qualified themselves for His mercy. So, we heard an excellent class yesterday, and somehow I'm here today. There's going to be a big drop in the standard. So I hope I'll be able to serve you by glorifying the Supreme Lord for my own purification and hopefully for your benefit also. So in this verse, Lord Brahma is seeing the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma has been seeing the Supreme Lord in the last few verses. Lord Brahma, by his penance, he was instructed to perform penances. He heard this word tapaha tapaha when he was searching for his origin, and he was searching for the source of his origin. And he heard these words tapa tapa, and he performed great penances for 1,000 years of the demigods. And then the Supreme Lord was so pleased by his penances that he revealed his dham to him, as we heard yesterday. So this revelation occurred to Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma was, though he was in the material world, he got a glimpse of the entire spiritual world. He was able to see the entire spiritual world. He saw the spiritual world, all the residents there. He saw the airplanes. He saw all the variegatedness. He saw the associates of the Lord. He saw the Lord himself in his Vaikuntha feature. And he even saw the energies of the Lord, which we heard yesterday, the 4, the 8, the 16. So these are all the energies who are the servants of the Lord. He saw all of them. And in today's verse, he's going in ecstasy. So Lord Brahma, after he saw the Lord, he was overwhelmed with joy within his heart. And he was shedding tears of love. So this is, and Prabhupada says, that is the way of the highest perfection for the living being. So this is the, more or less, the culmination of the practice of bhakti yoga. So by the practice of devotional service, under regulation, as Srila Prabhupada says, one can also reach this stage. Prabhupada made a point in the purport that even up to this day, one can attain the same perfection by following the path of the Paramahamsa. So Lord Brahma is a Paramahamsa, and he has followed the path of the Paramahamsas. And by doing that, he has achieved love of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada begins his purport by stating that the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the Paramahamsas. As we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, the very second verse of the Bhagavatam, Dharma Projita Kaitavo Atra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. So that the Srimad Bhagavatam is fully understandable by those who are fully pure in heart. And those who bear malice against the Supreme Lord, they cannot understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this word malice, it means an intention or a desire to cause some harm. So that's what malice means. So malice means an intention or desire to cause harm to someone else. So here Prabhupada mentions in his purport that persons who are completely free from malice, they can understand the Supreme Lord. And this malice, he says that this malicious life begins from the top, namely bearing malice against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this material world, everyone is malicious. So everyone has a desire to cause harm. And Prabhupada states that this starts at the top. So at the top meaning that this desire to cause harm starts against the Supreme Lord, and then it comes down. So the very reason we are in this material world is because of this envious nature against the Supreme Lord. So we have heard so many times the material world is a facility or a place for the rebellious living entities who need to be corrected and who want to enjoy separate from Krishna. So then Krishna has to make this whole arrangement for us to be here so we can live a malicious life. Because in the spiritual world, there is oneness of desire. In the spiritual world, there is oneness in the sense of desire to serve the Supreme Lord. So in the spiritual world, everyone is serving the Lord in harmony. And there is cooperation. Just like the example is given of, in the Ishvarupanishad, the example is given of a family. So in a family which is together, which is hard to find these days, generally the family, the members of the family, they all are working in cooperation with the father. Or the example is given of a nation. So the citizens of the nation are meant to cooperate, to have the same desires as of what the government is, whatever policies they're making. It is expected that the citizens also cooperate and fulfill those policies or desires. So in the spiritual world, everyone has the desire to serve the Supreme Lord without expecting anything in return. So the malicious desire is that the jiva wants to be independent of Krishna, separate. And then the Supreme Lord has to create the material world so that we can be situated here and try to enjoy separately from Him. So as Prabhupada states, this maliciousness begins first at the top, is aimed at the top, and then it comes down. So we can see that in this material world, everyone is envious of God. So what is the proof of that? The proof of that is they are not serving God. So that means they're envious. So even we see people go to church or religion or a mosque or a temple, but still their desire to serve the Lord is not there. Many people just go there to do some lip service. They go and say, "My dear Lord, I'm your devotee, and I'm fully surrendered to you." But then we have to see practically how they are surrendered. So the practical application of that is, one should be rendering devotional service. So when one is rendering devotional service, that means they are not so envious of the Lord. So to the degree we are rendering devotional service, to that degree we are less envious, we are not envious of the Lord. So for most people in the world, they are envious, even if they go to the church or a mosque or a temple. They go there to ask for things, but they're not rendering so much service. The amount of service they're rendering is very, very minimal. So the Paramahamsas, they are free from malice or the intent to cause harm. So in the very second verse, as is mentioned before, the Paramahamsas are fully pure in heart. So a Paramahamsa is someone who is basically an unalloyed or a pure devotee. That's who a Paramahamsa is. And the definition of a Paramahamsa is Anya Bilashata Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. So a Paramahamsa is someone who has no material desires, who free from karma, jnana, and he renders service unto the Supreme Lord favorably. So that's someone who's a pure devotee. So someone who is situated in pure devotional service, they can understand the Lord. They can properly understand the Lord. So others cannot fully understand the Lord. So it is stated by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion that people who are affected by material desires, they cannot really relish devotional service. So they are haunted by someone who is haunted by bhukti and mukti, or in other words, material desires for sense gratification, or the desire to become one with the Lord or for liberation. They cannot really relish the taste of devotional service. So any activity we do in this world has some rasa, it has some taste. That's why people are engaged in various activities. It has some kind of a flavor. But devotional service also has a lot of flavor. Devotional service, it is described, is very sweet. And even a drop of devotional service is that even liberation, which is highly sought after by the impersonalists, the pleasure derived from liberation is much more than the pleasure derived from sense gratification. But devotional service is so relishable that liberation is insignificant in comparison to devotional service. So just a drop of devotional service is much more than the pleasure derived from liberation, it is described. So spiritual activities or devotional activities are full of pleasure. And someone who is affected by material desires, We cannot fully relish the pleasure of the taste of devotional service. So Rupa Goswami explains that one who is haunted by bhakti and mukti, they cannot relish the pleasure of the taste of devotional service. And it is compared to being haunted by a ghost or a witch. So when someone is haunted by a witch or a ghost, a witch will cast a spell. So they cast a spell. So when one is under the spell, one is not in control. So in the same way, we are under the spell of material desires. So when we are under the spell of material desires, Krishna consciousness can become very difficult. So as was mentioned before, that this malice is aimed at the Supreme Lord first, then it comes down. So in this world we see everyone is envious of each other. So a Paramahamsa, one of the qualifications of a Paramahamsa or an Uttama Adhikari is that they are free from the propensity to criticize. And criticism is based on envy. So because of enviousness, people criticize each other. So a topmost devotee is free from the propensity to criticize. And even competition is based on envy. That's why there's so much competitiveness. So we see that people are so, there's so much competition going on and there's so much criticism going on. So that's because people are envious of each other. So first they're envious of the Supreme Lord. People don't render service unto the Lord. And even if they go to a church or temple, it is just, they just believe in the Lord, but there's no actual service. And even against each other, we see there's so much maliciousness. And the prime example is meat eating. So we see that these days people are very envious against other living entities. And everyone is just thinking, what's in it for me and what will I get out of this situation? So the affairs of the world are such that it is very selfish and people want to just serve their own interests at the cost of others, at the cost of the environment, at the cost of the cost of others. So that's happening on an individual and collective basis. So Prabhupada makes the next point in the purport that the Supreme Lord is an established fact in all revealed scriptures. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the personal feature of the Supreme Lord is especially mentioned. So we see that in so many scriptures of the world, the Supreme Lord is established. All the scriptures of the world establish that there is a Creator, there is a Supreme Lord. But Bhagavad Gita is very special because it establishes that the Supreme Lord is a person. So, and when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, it is even more clearly established that the Supreme Lord is a person. His activities are described, his form is described, his likes are described. His dealings with his devotees are described. So then Prabhupada further on explains that the process of bhakti yoga can make one a paramahamsa. And this process begins with faith. In fact, there's a statement, there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita on faith. It's a very nice verse. So it says, Shraddha shabde vishvasa kahe sudhrida nishchaya Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita haya. So there, faith is explained. Shraddha is, or faith, is confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Such faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service. So we see that Brahma had very strong faith. Lord Brahma had very strong faith. When he heard this instruction of tapaha, there was no one around him. He was just alone. And he sat on the lotus flower and he performed severe penances because he had firm faith that if I carry out this instruction, I will achieve perfection. I don't need to do anything else. I don't need to make my own endeavors to find out the reality by any mechanistic means or any other mean. He doesn't need to do that. So that is firm faith, that by engaging in the process of devotional service or by fulfilling the instructions of one's spiritual master or spiritual masters, one can achieve perfection. And this faith is the beginning of devotional service. As Rupa Goswami describes in the Nectar of Devotion, that one's devotional service begins when one cultivates this faith. And that faith can be cultivated by association with devotees. Or that faith is implanted in our heart by the association of the pure devotees. So that Bhakti Lata Beej is planted. And so many times for a lot of people, it is the agyata sukriti they get, that this faith is sown in their heart. So they might come to a Rath Yatra, they might be just walking on Fitzroy Street or Jaka Boulevard and they see the Rath Yatra. So for so many people, that's the first time they're coming in contact with devotees and devotional service. So by that interaction, they get some Shraddha. Or they come to a restaurant, they have prasadam, or they come across a Harinam party, or a devotee gives them a book, or they see some spiritual art, they see some Krishna conscious art. So that is the beginning of faith. And over time, when that faith is nourished by association of devotees or by hearing, then they have some courage to come in association of devotees. So when they come in association of devotees, then naturally they are engaged in devotional service. So they are engaged in the process of bhajna kriya. And when they are in the association of devotees and engaged, then if that faith is maturing more and more, then they will want to seek the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And after that, one takes initiation and begins to learn devotional service from a spiritual master and obey the orders. And in that way, one makes more and more progress. So these are all different stages of bhakti. And they all begin from Shraddha. And in all these stages, the Shraddha or the faith is increased. So to the degree we have faith, to that degree we will surrender to the Lord. And that faith is cultivated by, as Prabhupada mentions here, By hearing from the Bhagavad Gita and from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees and rendering devotional service. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport further on that one should hear the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam from the devotees, from the Bhagavats, not from the professional reciters. So there's this verse in the second chapter of the first canto, which describes the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. How does it start? Does anyone remember that verse? Nashta Prayashu Bhadreshu. Thank you. Nashta Prayashu Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So there are two types of Bhagavats, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. So both are in relation to the Supreme Lord. So we see the Bhagavatam is nothing but the glorification of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And the person Bhagavat, his life is in line with the book Bhagavat. So that's the test of the Paramahamsa. So the test of the Paramahamsa is that they should be in line with the scripture or with the Bhagavatam. So the person Bhagavat is the living manifestation of the book Bhagavat. Because both of them are in relationship to the Supreme Lord. So then Prabhupada further on, he makes the point that the Paramahamsa can be, that the Supreme Lord is unconquerable. One of the names of the Supreme Lord is that he is Ajita. So Ajita means unconquerable. So the Supreme Lord cannot be conquered. What to speak of the Supreme Lord, even the laws of nature cannot be conquered. So we see modern man is attempting to conquer the laws of nature in so many ways, by technological advancement. So they are trying to conquer the laws of nature, but they are failing miserably. And the Supreme Lord is above the laws of nature. In fact, he controls the laws of nature. The material energy is working under Krishna's direction. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. So this material energy is one of the energies of the Lord, working under the direction of the Lord. So the Supreme Lord is unconquerable because he's the Supreme Lord. He's very powerful. And we are very tiny jivas. So we are very tiny. So we are easily influenced by the material energy. So we cannot conquer the Lord. In fact, everyone is conquered by the Lord. But a pure devotee, by their practice, can conquer the Lord. And there are so many examples. We see that Mother Yashoda, she had conquered the Lord. She was chasing the Supreme Lord with a stick. All the demigods are fearful of the Supreme Lord. The sun is moving in its orbit because of fear of the Supreme Lord. The wind is blowing. Everything is happening under the order of the Lord. No one can transgress the laws of nature or the direction of the Lord. But we see a pure devotee, they conquer the Lord. And the Lord likes to be conquered by them because it is a loving reciprocation. So in Vaikuntha Loka, so Lord Brahma had darshan of Vaikuntha Loka. So in Vaikuntha Loka, devotional service is performed in awe and reverence. So there the mood is different. So in Vaikuntha Loka, everyone is, the devotees are serving the Lord in awe and reverence. They do not slap the Lord or they do not climb on his shoulders. And everything is very formal. So they're making prayers. The Supreme Lord, we heard yesterday, he's sitting on a throne. So when someone is on a throne, it's formal. When a king is on a throne, you just can't go and sit on his lap. So there he has his energies around him. So there's a lot of awe and reverence. There's a lot of opulence. But in Golok Vrindavan, the mood is different. So there it is, the setting is totally different. It is a forest. The Supreme Lord is a cowherd. And there the awe and reverence is hardly there. So there the devotees don't know him. Or they're completely covered that he's the Supreme Lord. Yoga Maya covers them. And even though the Supreme Lord exhibits unparalleled opulences, we see in the Vrindavan Leela, he kills so many demons. An ordinary person cannot do that. But still, they're convinced that he's not the Supreme Lord. He's just their friend, or he's just their son, or their lover. Though he's exhibiting all these opulences. So there, the devotees conquer the Supreme Lord, and he likes to be conquered by his devotees. Because there is rasa in that relationship. And their love is very intense. So Mother Yashoda, we see that She's chasing Krishna with a stick after he has stolen butter. And he's fearful of her punishment. So, an ordinary person, they cannot understand this. These are very confidential truths. They are very difficult to understand. It's an open secret. You know, the Bhagavatam is there, the Bhagavad Gita is there. But someone who is not rendering devotional service, they cannot understand all this, though they might read it. Unless it is explained by a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, then they can understand. But otherwise, it's very difficult to understand. And we see that in India, people know Krishna's leelas. At least they know some leelas of Krishna. They know his pastimes. But people cannot understand him. They are totally bewildered. And in fact, they commit offenses to the Supreme Lord. They take him to be an ordinary person. So as Lord Brahma Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, any person, even up to this day, can attain the same perfection by following the path of the Paramahamsa as recommended herein. So this is possible even today in 2014. So the process of Krishna consciousness is a valid process and it works. As Srila Prabhupada mentions, that we can even achieve the same perfection. As Zolinus Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj was mentioning yesterday, that Radha Vallabha, they can reveal the spiritual world to us if they so desire, if we are so qualified. That even while we are situated in the material world, we can see the Supreme Lord face to face, and we can see the spiritual world also. So a pure devotee or a Paramahamsa, they are fully fixed in the service of the Lord and they do not care for anything else. And even Lord Chaitanya, he made in the Shikshashtakam, he says, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagat isha kamai. That I do not want any wealth, followers or beautiful women. And we even see Bilwa Mangala Thakur. He said that, if I am engaged in devotional service unto you, my dear Lord, then very easily can I perceive your presence everywhere. And as far as liberation is concerned, I think liberation stands at my door with folded hands, wanting to serve me. So to a Paramahamsa, such things are very insignificant. To us, these things are very significant. And we even see In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev, when he was instructing his mother, Devahuti, he said that he glorifies the pure devotees of the Paramahamsas. There he says, my dear mother, my pure devotees are charmed by seeing my different forms, the beauty of my face, the structure of my body, so enchanting. My laughing, my pastimes, and my glance appear to them so beautiful that their minds are always absorbed in thoughts of me and their lives are fully dedicated unto me. Although such people do not desire any kind of liberation or any kind of material happiness, still I give them a place among my associates in the Supreme Lord. From such statements we can see that the Paramahamsas, they are fully absorbed in the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So I'll just end here. If you have any questions or comments on this verse and purport. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, it is said in the Nectar Devotion that in order to develop Raja Bhakti, one has to follow in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada, he's a resident of Vrindavan. So we have to follow in his footsteps. Yes, Prabhu. Any details of what he's meditating? It's not mentioned here in these verses, so I'm not sure. He's meditating on the Supreme Lord, to what I understand, but I'm not really sure. Anirudha, do you have, do you know the answer to this question? So you're saying he was given the Gopal Gayatri Mantra? I'm not sure. I have to look it up. We'll have to do some research to back to your question. And then in the next verse, the Supreme Lord is satisfied with his penance. So the Bhagavatam doesn't describe the details of his penance. Well, our penance is rendering devotional service. So under the instruction of a spiritual master and our authorities. So that is our penance. The principles are the same. The details might be slightly different. So he controlled the senses by engaging in the service of the Lord. Same prince. Yeah, that was his service. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so whatever service we have, that's how we control the mind and senses.
There is undoubtedly a trouble in executing penance, but the trouble is set up in executing bhakti yoga is transcendental happiness from the very beginning. So the point is that he was to control his mind and senses, that was his service.
We cannot do that. So our tapa is practical devotional service and reading the Shastra and everything else. Yeah, we cannot be inactive. The tendency is to be inactive, as Arjuna was also saying in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that I want to perform Buddhi Yoga by using my intelligence and not fight. But Krishna told him that no, your service is to fight and please me. So the tendency for neophytes is to be not render much devotional service or to be inactive. But if we stick to our service, if we are committed, then we can make progress. So the more we are active, the more it's better, because we are fully engaged. Yes, probably. Why he started? Okay. The question is, Brahma achieved perfection by devotional service, not by controlling his mind and senses. But his service was to control his mind and senses. So the question is, why did he, after seeing the Lord and all that, why did he start the creation? Because his next service is to create. So first instruction he got was to, or his primary service was to create the secondary creation, Visarga. And in order to do that, he had to perform penances. That was his service at that point of time. And when he did all that, he was given the knowledge how to create, how to engage in the secondary creation. So that's his service. That's why he did that. Yes, Rob.
That point you made is important, because, you know, people will think, why didn't he just continue meditating?
Mm.
You know, that's the goal of life.
Mm.
To meditate.
Mm.
But, you know, a devotee is here to please the Lord, not to please himself.
Mm.
And so he was inspired then to do his service.
Mm.
So he went out and was active.
Mm.
You know, we shouldn't think, oh, become Krishna conscious now, self-realized, sit down and just meditate.
Mm.
There may be some people who do that.
Mm.
That's their service.
Mm.
But for most of us, once we've heard and understand our service, we then go and act. And that's why Prabhupada himself said, you know, I've created so many things for you to do, because it's not possible just to sit down and chant Hare Krishna and read and study and do all of those, do that particular service. So Prabhupada's a very good example. He said, you know, I could have just stayed in Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna and, you know, the order was to go and preach, given by Bhakti Sinanda Saraswati Thakur. He didn't have to leave Vrindavan. He'd already achieved the goal of life, in one sense. But the order was go and preach, which is more or less the order that we've got as well. Perfect yourself, perfect others. So that's what Brahma's doing too.
And he's the Sampradaya Acharya. He's a spiritual master.
You know, there's this kind of archetypal sadhu, you know, that sits in the Himalayas and grows his beard and dreadlocks. And that's kind of like, you know, that's, wow, being a yogi. I know, I wanted to be a yogi. I didn't know what a yogi was, but it appealed to me. You know, go and sit somewhere in the Himalayas and work on your mystic powers, walk on water or something. And that's very selfish, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, that point about maliciousness, the devotee loses that competitive nature with
is the point made here that sthane sthita shruti gatam tanuvan manobir, irrespective of one's ashram or varna, the main point is to be rendering service in the association of devotees.
Hearing.
Hearing, yeah.
Sthane sthita ashram.
Shruti gatam. Why is this? Question is, I was mentioning that criticism is there because envy is there. So question is, why is there criticism within our movement? Why devotees criticize each other? And why we are criticizing the materialists? Yeah? Okay. So, I mean, devotees criticizing each other, that's there because we are neophytes. So the, as I mentioned before, an Uttama Adhikari's qualification is they don't criticize. So if we are not an Uttama Adhikari, then the propensity to criticize will be there. So if that propensity to criticize is not checked, then one will criticize other devotees. And there is plenty of opportunities to do that. There's no shortage. Just look around and you can criticize. But that sort of criticism will not help one. In fact, that's like the mad elephant offense, criticizing devotees. Criticizing devotees who have dedicated lives to Krishna consciousness. So though every devotee is a pure devotee, in the sense that like a mango in its unripe stage. So some mangoes, some devotees are in the ripe stage, some are in the unripe. So everyone's a pure devotee. So to criticize devotees is like the mad elephant offense. An elephant goes in the garden and destroys everything. So that's very destructive to a spiritual life. So criticism is there, again, because of envy, and that has to be checked. So that criticism should be turned into appreciation of devotees. So there's so many things to criticize, but there's so many good things also happening. So it is said that one should make a list of good things what that he or she is doing or about the institution, and then glorify that and meditate on that. Then one can check that propensity to criticize. And second question, why we criticize the non-devotees? I mean, we see Prabhupada, if you read Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada's books, it is all about criticism. It's nothing but criticizing everyone. You know, the materialists are criticized, the scientists are criticized, the impersonalists are criticized, the yogis are criticized. There's no one left except for the devotees. Everyone is criticized. And the reason that criticism is there, so the reason for that is because not long ago we were there. We were one of them. And if Prabhupada didn't criticize them, we would still be one of them. We will still identify with their values and their culture. So Prabhupada has to... The sadhu is heavy, like a sword. They cut. So they have to cut our misconceptions. So all this criticism is there to cut our misconception of that we can be happy in this material world, independent of Krishna. So that's why all that criticism is there. In other words, material life cannot make one happy. If you're not serving the Lord, we cannot be fulfilled. So that's why there's so much criticism. And that is healthy criticism. So in our preaching, we also have to criticize. But that criticism is done with compassion and love. So when Prabhupada is criticizing, there's a lot of compassion there. So because it's done with compassion, it can be taken. So we see even in Prabhupada's leelas on this planet, he criticized so many people on their face. He called them a rascal, this and that, and criticizing the scientist and calling people a dog on their face. But because it was done with love and compassion, they could take it. They're criticizing the mentality. That's the point. So we don't identify with that mentality ourselves. Yes, Prabhu?
It's called discrimination as opposed to criticism. Discriminating. Majjhima Adhikari has to see four things. Uttama Adhikari is doesn't criticize, but the Uttama Adhikari comes down to the Majjhima platform to preach. That means to discriminate. So he sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he sees the devotees, he sees the demons, and he sees the innocent. So that requires discrimination. And the demons or the non-devotees engage in activities that are actually detrimental for everybody. So we should be aware of this, what's good and what's bad. Otherwise, we'll go off and do things that are not healthy for us. So that's why the Majjhima Adhikari has to help people discriminate. And so, so this is good and that's bad. Got to. For the benefit of others. So it might appear as being critical, but it's really discrimination. And working out this is good and that's bad. Here's what will benefit you. Avoid this because it might be good for you. Avoid this kind of, you know, if you want to become a saint, you associate with the sadhus. If you want to become a drunk, go and drink with the bums in the park. So we're going to say, oh, no, it's okay, it's all right, do whatever you like. Drink in the park and you become a paramahansa.
That's a better word, thank you.
Just like we don't drive on the right hand side of the road.
Yeah, thank you. You have a question? See the what?
See the Lord.
Yeah.
In everyone.
So what's the question?
Like how to live with that, you know, there's like different levels and discrimination, like with a drug addict or alcoholic, and it happens to come on your way. And you want to get free, or how to deal with that?
How to deal with it? Of coming across an alcoholic. Yeah, we are respectful to everyone. A devotee is respectful to all living entities. So we are respectful to the alcoholic, or and we show compassion to them by giving them Krishna in whatever shape or form we can. So we could say Hare Krishna to them or give them some prasadam. But we don't intimately associate with them because their association is very injurious for our bhakti practice. It's what we do in preaching. So we discriminate against them. We don't intimately associate with them, but we show compassion and try to uplift them in whatever way possible, in a respectful way. And we don't look down upon them. We don't look down upon them just because they're an alcoholic. Yeah. Okay. So in every creation there's a different Brahma. So sometimes when there's no devotee, then because Brahma has to have, Brahmas have up to 78% of the qualities of the Lord in a minute proportion. So this post is only given to a devotee. It's not given to a non-devotee. That's why when Krishna, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to a king. So the idea is that the king can pass this knowledge down and he can put that knowledge into practice. Kshatriya can put it in practice. So the Brahma is a, it's very important that Brahma is a devotee. So he can create and he can govern with devotion and uplift the living entities. So sometimes if there's no devotee Brahma, then the Supreme Lord himself takes the position of a Brahma. So yeah, Brahma is a Paramahamsa. Does that answer your question?
What was the question?
It's a bit confusing. Yeah, that I answered.
The question, the answer is what Nanda said, that it's not qualified living entity to do the job, and so the Lord does it.
Yeah, that's the answer. It's not
easy. That's what Nanda said.
Yeah. It's there in the Srimad Bhagavatam somewhere. Ninth canto or somewhere. In the ninth canto, one of those cantos, there is an example of the Lord taking the position of Brahma. I can't give you the reference, but it's there. I recall reading that somewhere. Yes, Madhuri. How do you explain to new people how that along with the soul, the super soul is also present? Because as Krishna says, what's that verse? Jnanam apohanam From me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So we can tell people that it's not easy to tell people, first of all, if they don't even believe in the soul, what to speak of the super soul. So we can just try to tell them that all this remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness we are getting is coming from the Lord. And sometimes people have that experience. They feel there's an inner voice within them. But of course, sometimes it's their own mind also telling them things. The super soul really speaks to one who has controlled his mind, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, that one who is able to control the mind, they can speak to the super soul. So, it's not easy to answer your question, how to convince them. Just tell them. Say there's God in your heart. I mean, a lot of people know that.
Yeah, he's a witness. He's a witness. There's many verses in the Bhagavad Gita that describe, and that's what you should be telling people.
Yeah, that's a good one. Example of the two birds. One eating the fruit and other witnessing. Upadrashta Anumantacha. So he's the sanctioner and he's the witness in your heart. All your desires are sanctioned by the Lord. If they don't understand, then you know what can you do? Just give them prasadam and make their faith. Because they don't have the shraddha to understand it at that point of time. So they need to eat prasadam. Like there's this one, you know, one person coming to our university program is coming for like a year and a half. Every session, every Thursday is there. He comes for the whole lecture, he hears the kirtan, does japa, has prasadam, he talks with everyone and he's one of the last persons to leave. So you know, one devotee was telling me this is a hopeless case, this person. He's an Australian, young boy, and he said he's a hopeless case because whenever I talk to him, he'll never agree with me, whatever I say. You know, everything I say, he'll disagree with that. But he listens to the lecture and he chants attentively. Even does japa. But the point is, they don't agree, but they just keep coming and having prasadam, their heart will change over a period of time. It's not possible, they won't change. So
one thing is, especially when we're preaching, we have to forget that we're the door.
Yeah, we cannot judge by the externals. Internally, a lot of things are happening.
Yeah.
We can't judge, we're the door.
Yeah.
Support that point. Yesterday again at the university, I met one boy, Marcus. So I told him 3 weeks ago that he's a Christian, Lutheran, and he's a bit interested. And so he has some faith. So I said, okay, why don't you read the... He said, I want to know more. I said, okay, so why don't you read the Bhagavad Gita? He said, I want an online version. So I told him, go to verabase.net and here are all the books I showed him, and I told him, read Beyond Birth and Death. or Bhagavad Gita. So he decided to read Bhagavad Gita. So yesterday I met him again. I asked him, so did you read the book? He said, yeah, I read it, and you know, I couldn't understand a word of that book. He said, I couldn't even go the first page. He said, now I'm buying this, you know, magazine, and I'm buying Chant and Be Happy. Maybe this I can relate to it more. I said, yeah, that's very good. Just read that, and if you have any questions, come to me. So he couldn't understand a word. But he's coming. You know, he's having prasadam. Things are going on inside we can't see. And I've in my own experience, Gopal Guru Prabhu, who used to be temple commander here, he was the first one to give me Bhagavad Gita when I used to come to have prasadam. And he said, read this book. He went back, he took me to car park. There was an old Ford. He gave me a Bhagavad Gita from that, and small one, paperback. And I couldn't go past the first page. And next week I came back and met Gopal Guru and said, I can't understand a word, this consciousness, this and that. You know, take the book back. He said, no, keep reading. And it took me 2-3 years before I could begin to understand. So it just takes time. You have to be patient. And we can't, shouldn't think we are the doer, and we want, you know, immediate results. Especially Western preaching is not like Indian preaching. You get such quick results. You have to be very patient.
Well, I heard most of the language before.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard the language, so you can speak terminology, and they can absorb it because they already have been exposed to all. That's why a birth in Bharatavarsha is so auspicious, because you've already been exposed to years of spiritual culture, and spiritual culture means understanding the language. So for most people in the Western world, they don't even so there's concepts there and language that's already presupposed that they don't know. So you're dealing with an animal, basically.
Yeah.
It's got the brain of a human being, but there's nothing in it except animal behavior.
And even Prabhupada said that. For most people, it's just, you know, kirtan and prasadam. A few will be interested in the philosophy. So that's what our program is. Do harinams, do prasadam distribution, give out books also. And, you know, the rare few will be there who will want to take it further. But for the masses, that's the program.
You know, the idea of the superstar, for many people, they think that somebody's looking at them all the time. They get diagnosed with mental illness. So we're telling them, yeah, there's somebody in your heart and he's keeping an eye on you all the time. Where is he? How come I can't see
you? Oh, it's 9 o'clock. I think we should end here.
I'll say one more thing.
Yeah. You'll say it anyway. Pay for what?
Pay for the book.
Yeah.
Then you read.
You can give us some.
Don't give it free.
No, we give out books for free. But we get devotees to pay for it. And we give it out for free. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. The Prabhupada ki. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.